This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming to you once again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. So we're just happy to be with you. We want to give you our mailing address. It's Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785.
And before we go into our study, I'd like to give you this information of this word of news that we're here at Radio Missions. We also we have the Radio Bible and Book Room, a good, gracious, old times gospel bookstore, where we have many, many good sound books by the old Puritan writers, Bunyan and Bonar and Spurgeon and Warfield and Kershaw and all of those old writers, along with many good devotionals and all of the Bibles. We have Bibles, good King James Version. So we just have a new catalog out, and we'd like to put it in your hand if you'd write us. Just write us at Radio Missions and ask for the catalog on the bookstore. We want to continue our study in this subject, the sovereignty of God, and we're looking at God's elective grace. We just touched on this subject there in our last study, and we want to go back there and pick it up again this morning. As we look there at God's sovereignty, we want to bring you a study this morning from God's Word on this subject, God's elective grace. Now, I know it strikes a chord with many of you who don't believe in God's election, but I wish you'd listen with an open mind. Let's read Romans 11, 5, and 6, beginning of our message. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. If there's one truth, my friend, if there's one truth taught in God's Word, it's salvation by grace and grace alone. Now, that's the theme of God's Word. Yes, salvation by blood, but it's by grace alone. In Titus 3, 5 through 7, we find this gracious passage of Scripture, not by works of righteousness. Now, are you attempting to be saved on your good works, my friend? Are you attempting to be saved on being a good mother, a good father, a good parent, or a good church member? Listen, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Now, the only reason you're saved today, my friend, is because of God's grace, because of His mercy. You say, what is the difference in mercy and grace? Listen, mercy, I believe, is the hand that holds grace in it. When God's hand is held out to you, that's a hand of mercy. But inside that hand, held in that hand, we find grace. God's free, unmerited favor. Then the balance of that scripture says, being justified by His grace. When we see a man in his normal, as he's born into this world, as we call his natural condition, we see that he's totally depraved, meaning that he has no goodness, no inherent goodness, dead in trespasses and sin, like in Ephesians, he says, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, blinded by the god of this world, O Satan. O Satan, my friend, we're going to bring you another study on O Satan one of these days. Then we find him to be unprofitable, every faculty of his being deteriorated by sin, hopelessly lost. Now, that's a sad picture, isn't it? No power within himself to believe or even seek God, or even to be willing to be saved. Now, we see there how hopeless and helpless a man is. When we view man from this standpoint, listen, we see that the only hope for any sinner to ever be saved is the grace of God. This is not by accident. Never has been an accident in God's economy, no, but it's according to the purpose of God and His plan, according to Ephesians 1, 4 through 9. I want us to notice this statement in the scripture that I've just read to you. Where there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Let's notice the meaning of this statement. A remnant according to the election of grace. The cause of election is traced back to its source. The basis upon which God elected this remnant was not faith and repentance foreseen in them, no. Nor was it God's choice founded upon the foresight of good works because they would have made salvation by works and not by grace. But the Apostle Paul declared loudly, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Thus we see that the idea of inherent good foreseen in those whom God chooses performed by them is divinely excluded. But when Paul said a remnant according to the election of grace, this certainly signified unconditional choice by a sovereign God without any idea of favor on the part of that individual. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, sister. In these days when the ministry, when our ministry now is resorting to believingism, easy believingism, decisionism, moving picture show theology to get members in the church and call it salvation, we're forced to fall back on these great old absolute promises of God. This is our only hope in these dark hours in which we live, to rest upon those great, absolute, unconditional promises of God's eternal, unbroken word. Now, that's the truth, my friend. That's the truth. That's what we have to do. We see all it. You see it. If you have any spiritual sense at all, you go to church this coming Sunday or last Sunday, you see that the person walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, dry, no tear, not a tear of repentance. No, the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Where is repentance in shaking the preacher's hand? Where is it, my friend? Where is faith? Where is looking to the Lord? No, you look into the pastor. The election, this election, was according to the riches of God's grace. Listen now, let me take you now to the glittering treasure of God's divine grace. God foreknew that man would fall, but he determined of his own infinite purpose and will that he would raise out of this fall a multitude which no man could number. Now that's right, my friend. That's isn't that a gracious passage of Scripture? It is. It's a gracious passage to me, to my own heart. Listen, God the Father held a solemn counsel with the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's right. All of those things, my friend. And we want to look much at those verses today. How the Lord saves a sinner. Let me call your attention to another scripture found in John 6:37. We're going back over a few points that we made in our last study. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't that show you that that's God's grace? That's God's will. His will here is our salvation. It was the will of God that the very thought of salvation first rose. Now let's listen. Let's listen. In verse 38 there, we find Christ said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So the Father's will, and Jesus said he delighted to do that will. Here he is, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Now I know that's God's word. Listen, that's right. I know it was God's will to give the Lord Jesus, his obedient servant, a number of men out of mankind who were to be his. The Father gave to the Son a number that no man could number. They became disciples not by their own inclination, but by the election of grace. They became Christ's flock. They are to be conformed to him that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, this is the divine truth set forth in God's word. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God's eternal and electing purpose, selected from the mass of mankind, a people who were to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a record, my friend. What grace. What sovereign, divine, elective grace. Every one of God's elect who have been called out by the Spirit of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, rejoices with unspeakable joy that he's in that number, never ceases to praise God day in and day out for such redemptive grace as well as elective grace, foreknown by the knowledge of an omnipotent God. Listen, elected in the council of the eternities, called out by the eternal Holy Spirit. That's right. As lost, undone, hell-deserving sinners when they were called, and then redeemed by the blood of Christ, kept by the power of God's indwelling Holy Spirit, preserved by his grace until the day of redemption, raised by the eternal Spirit, and presented faultless and perfect in the image of God, the Son of God, in that day. What grace? What sovereign grace? What is the encouragement of this great doctrine and teaching of God's sovereign elective grace? Let me state it like this. God is absolute monarch of the hearts of men. He does not say if men are willing, but he gives an absolute promise of the blessing. God would say, I have the key to men's heart. I am the master. It matters not how hard, how rocky, how sinful the human heart may be. I can break it. I can make it fruitful. My dear brother, my dear sister, there's no hard cases with God according to Jeremiah 32. This is our encouragement to pray for revival here at Radio Mission, for you out there in our radio audience, for our tape families, wherever you are. When God plans and promises to bless His church and to save sinners, He does not add, if the sinner be willing to be saved. No, no. Great God, Thou leadest man's will in sweet captivity, and in Thy free spirit of grace is all triumphant. I know that man has a will, and God does not violate man's will, but when he moves, the will of man is sweetly bound with the fetters of divine love until it becomes free, free to choose, free to move toward God. When the Lord means to save sinners, he does not stop to ask them whether they want to be saved, but like a mighty rushing divine wind, he sweeps away every obstacle. The unwilling heart bends before the mighty potent gale of grace, and sinners are made to yield and bow their knees to God by His eternal Spirit. I know that if God willed it, there is no man sitting there by your radio so desperately wicked that could not be made now to seek for mercy, all prejudice broken and the proud heart made to bend. That sinner would cry out for mercy, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. What encouragement for us preachers, us ministers, to preach for born-again personal workers, to give our testimony and spread forth divine truth by the printed page. Listen, I know the effect that this great Bible teaching has upon the heart of the unsaved. It frightens them to death. They're made to wonder, am I one of God's elect? I can tell you, my friend, how you can find out. The Scripture says, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And the Scripture also says, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. Now, my friend, are you one of God's elect? You say, well, how can I tell? You come to Christ and find out. Is there a desire in your heart after the Lord? If so, the Lord put it there, my friend. You didn't put it there. No man comes to the Son except the Father draw him. We have all of this little soft soap religion today where man is on the throne and he thinks God is a little tin soldier sitting on the sideline, wringing his hand, hoping that somebody will come trust him. No, that's not true. My friend, God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God created this universe, flung it out into the atmosphere off the tips of His fingers. And here you and I are just little worms of the dust going to put up our opinion like these so-called theological professors. They say, well, I don't know how much of the Bible you can believe. Well, brother, you can go on to hell with your theory. You can believe every bit of it, every jot and every tittle. And if you never come to believe it, you'll bust hell wide open. That's right. Now, my friend, I'm all stirred up because I know God is on the throne. And you and I, brother, have lost our holy awe of a holy God. We think we're somebody come. We say, the old man upstairs. We call Mother Nature. We better be mighty careful, my friend, in doing those things. We might wind up in hell. I tell you that right now, folks. This is a serious thing we're talking about. I'm talking about the difference between life and death. God is sovereign. God does as He pleases. He don't have to ask you for anything. Oh, my friend, this is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to a close. I wish you'd write us and let us hear from you. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785.
Goodbye and God bless you.
If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.